The meat processing sector employs around 50,000 workers around Australia and is heavily reliant on the 417 visa program. Meat Workers Union Queensland Branch Secretary Matt Cherno.
Typically the 417 visa is heavily used within the meat industry. We've seen a massive increase in the use of 417s through a third party, typically a labour hire company that will supply the lower skilled jobs, if you like, within meat processing through the 417 visa system.
For the layman, the 417 system is essentially the backpacker visa?
That's correct. Robin, they come over here for 6 months, and if they work in a regional or remote area, they get another 6 months. So people can work in the industry for 12 months in lower skilled or semi-skilled positions.
Where are they hired?
Typically, these people are hired at the point of origin or their country of origin, so they're recruited by a labour hire firm, and then a meat company would contact that labour hire firm and ask for X amount of workers, and the labour hire company would provide those.
Where does the whole move on the backpacker tax, the moving it to 32% or 19% or 10.5%, where does that fit into this equation? Because at the moment, are they not paying any tax at all?
They pay tax, but typically if they're only here for 6 months, they don't get over the $18,200 threshold, so they get that tax back when they leave. At the moment, it's quite a large incentive for employers to employ these people, and it's quite a large incentive for these people to work within this industry as well, because they get remunerated reasonably well, and they get to take their tax home when they leave.
What would happen if that went to 32%?
Well, the attractiveness for those positions would certainly be less. I would say that they would struggle to get 417s to work in our industry.
Is it a live discussion at the moment as you're working, moving around the meatworks?
It certainly is, Robin. It's a major issue at the moment.
Matt Cherno from the Australasian Meat Industry Employees Union. The Fair Work Ombudsman's report into the 417 visas found many failings in the program. Underpayment and exploitation were just two. The report also highlighted the use of dodgy labour hire companies and described the 417 visa program in some cases as a ticket to work in Australia rather than a cultural exchange. Matt Cherno from the AMIU says they have made many of these sorts of submissions to a number of inquiries.
We've raised this issue in three separate Senate inquiries about the use of temporary migrant workers and its negative effect on industry and its negative effect on the economy, and not to mention the exploitation that occurs sometimes with these workers as well.
What sort of exploitation are you talking about?
Well, third-party labour hire companies, typically all you have to do is buy a mobile phone and you can set yourself up as a labour hire company. They will employ these workers, pay them cash in hand at a significantly reduced rate of pay, get them to start their own business, so have ABNs and pay them as contractors as opposed to direct employees, make people rent particular houses that labour hire companies buy for exorbitant rates of pay, exorbitant rents. Obviously, because they pay these employees, they just take it out of their wage. Phoenix companies that when we do run underpayment claims, they will just go to ground. They will just disappear in a puff of smoke. And then the same directors will start another company up under a totally different name, you know, a few months later. These are all the issues that have been raised at, as I said, several inquiries. And, you know, they're there in Hansard for anyone to read.
And Matt Cherno, do you have proof of this, of what you're saying?
Yeah, most definitely. And we've provided that to those inquiries in the past. And we've got several underpayment claims that generally we resolve, but unfortunately most of those ones that we resolve are under a confidential settlement for the workers involved. And we've had back pay claims of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
These Phoenix companies, these labour hire companies, where are they? Where are they based?
Who knows? Typically they are set up by the same nationality as the people that they bring in. So if they're using 417 visa workers, say from India, they will typically be Indian labour hire companies that set up over here.
Matt Cherno says there simply must be greater regulation of labour hire companies.
I'd like to see a licensing program rolled out for labour hire companies where there is a minimum amount of capital that a labour hire company would have to have prior to being able to establish themselves as a labour hire company, and an ability that if there is, a breach of the legislation, that those labour hire companies could lose their licence. Obviously, I'd like to see a joint employment doctorate brought out where people were paid exactly the same, regardless of whether they were employed by labour hire or the company direct. And that would be a way of fixing the labour hire problem as well.
And in the announcement, when the LNP came out and said that labour hire companies would have to be registered, were the issues that you're talking about now, were they addressed in that?
Well, no, they weren't. Registration is certainly different from what I'm proposing. Registration would just be a list of labour hire companies and where they supplied labour. I'm going as far as licensing. So a licence could be removed from a labour hire company that didn't do the right thing.
And who would police that?
Licensing could either be a federal system or it could be a state system.
Matt Journo from the Australasian Meat Industry Employees Union. The meat processing sector has used overseas workers for years. In the mining boom, it was heavily reliant on the 457 visa program, which allowed skilled workers to stay in Australia for 4 years. Many applied for renewal and a lot have gained permanent residency. The Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Meat Industry Council, Kevin Cottrell, says the 417 program is widely used in his industry and it does support a 19% tax.
We supported the NFF position, which was that these people, yes, they should pay tax, but probably a rate of around 19% would be a more reasonable rate than 32%. I think the whole issue of taxation, though, and backpacker tax in particular, is a much wider matter than the meat industry. For us, the 417s are an opportunity to get employees where in another case we might not be able to have employees.
In relation to the alleged abuse of overseas workers employed by some labour hire companies, Kevin Cottrell says the meatworks pay award wages.
There are a lot of labour hire companies, and some of them would appear to be not reputable companies. I think in terms of the meat industry and what it pays the award rates of pay or the negotiated rates of pay to the labour hire company. I think the point you're making here is that sometimes the labour hire company is taking out of that amount of money that they're receiving amounts of money for accommodation or transport or whatever, and that labour hire company may in fact not be treating their own employee, being the backpacker, very well. And there is evidence, obviously, of that.
Do the meat works take any level of responsibility for the way in which their workers are treated once they're in Australia?
Of course. The issue of people not being treated appropriately is a matter of concern to everybody and needs to be dealt with.
What would these labour agreements be that would clean up this system?
One of the things which the federal government put in place was that the labour hire company should be having documentation in the person's natural language which explains the terms and conditions which operate in Australia and lets them clearly understand in their own language what to expect.